numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Heyo.
In the house live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Derek Stevens, Shangri-La in the desert. All brought to you by ProfitX, and proudly so, I might add.
You've confirmed that? They're proud?
I don't know if I will add it, but I might add.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you talked to them? Are they proud?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not. I'm just assuming.
They're definitely proud of me. I don't know about you. Yeah, you're always.
You know what they say about assuming, Kelly. It makes you regret previous assumptions.
Mm.
And then it just keeps going because there's assumptions back and forth. Anyway, biggest story in sports globally yesterday. Let's start with it. You know where I'm going, don't you? Italy misses its third straight World Cup.
Yeah.
Listen, this may mean nothing to us, but that's like us. And
third
by us,
straight?
By us, I mean the United States of America. That's like us missing a baseball international tournament three straight times. Or, dare I say, an American football. I don't know. Right. That might be one bridge too far. But you get the idea. So that's like the global horror was that yesterday.
Has the United States missed three?
In a row?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm sure we have.
I would think so, too.
Yeah. He says less than confidently. But I think we have. Yeah. I think that before that, Italy's last World Cup missed before this three in a row.
I'm seeing a lot of U.S. in the World Cups on this list.
Well, I think it's easier for us to get in, probably
I think that is correct, yes.
1958 was the last time Italy missed a World Cup before this three in a row. So that's as bad as it gets. Good God.
Man, anyway. It really is wild. We were talking about it heading out of the studio yesterday. I'll be honest, I didn't realize it was three in a row at this point.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, that's our Italy World Cup update.
I thought it was a huge deal because it was like the first time ever in that many years.
Well, we got that dramatic tweet about it yesterday, too. So if it was in the deep forest of Bosnia, that whole tweet.
It was a great tweet. It pumped us up. It had us talking about it, at least.
Well, on the show today, Nick Whalen to talk NBA with us. We'll go country clubbing, talk Valero Texas Open. I have a couple tennis picks after yesterday's 0-2. A couple three-set losses yesterday. That wasn't fun. On the hard, true green clay of Charleston. Got two more this morning.
I'm looking at it right now. It's gorgeous.
Charleston?
Yep.
Or the clay?
Well, the clay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Sporer on Major League Baseball. How about Toddy Wish, Devin Will Hill later? How about that? Kiniella. Todd Wish, Dev on the Final Four. Will Hill, all his bets. We'll keep Will for a couple. College basketball, Major League Baseball, everything he's betting, everything he's thinking about. He just had Ian Eagle on his podcast.
I should have had more podcasts this morning.
Ian Eagle's been on this show before. Do you know Jeff Parles, the Grover Cleveland producer?
I was just going to ask you, what's the connection again? He went to like camp or something?
Jeff Parles went to broadcast camp as a kid, and apparently like Ian Eagle was the head of the broadcast camp. Yeah,
just like many other businesses out there, it's all about the connections and the people you meet along the way.
Here are the
Jeff has not let that go since then.
Here's the two tennis plays today in Charleston. If I'll throw those out now, I was going to wait for country club, but you're going to throw them out now?
Sure. People are always eager for them.
Maria Sakkari +122 versus Paula Badosa today on the green clay of Charleston. Sakkari +122. Didn't really understand that price so much. And Anna Bondar, who has really good clay numbers at even money against Magdalena Frech. That's Frech, Kelly. So Sakkari and Bondar are your two plays on the women's side. By the way, the ability to share these on the show also will come to a screeching halt in about a week or two when we head to Europe. And then the time zones will be all fakakta at that point. So
more American tennis skill. We need it.
That's right.
So it's one of my multiple points that will be on my platform for presidential race. Okay,
More American tennis.
The one that will catch on more, though, is keep American football in America.
I'm getting upset about that. I thought you were going to say indoors.
No. I just want to keep it in the U.S. I don't know why we got to fly to every country in the world.
I know what you're doing. You're that candidate that really doesn't tell the voters what you really want to do, and then once you get put in office, you're like, indoor football, everybody. I know exactly what you're doing. You politicians are all the same. by the way, so July is when we return to the United States, post-clay, post-grass, in terms of what we play on, is what I was saying. Tankapalooza. Remember how I pronounced that dead the other day?
Yeah.
Were you surprised that I, oh boy.
Boom.
There we go. Is this a short one or a long one?
Yeah.
Tankapalooza makes its return.
We should have a camera on Kelly when he does that. You put no more passion into anything than you do that right there.
That music gets me jacked up. I'm ready to go, man.
Well, it's been mixed results, to say the least. We're 7-5 on these brain-dead NBA Tankapalooza parlays, really just playing in the background against tanking NBA teams. 46-6 on the legs, which should really kind of prove to you how insane these are. But they sprinkle the losses enough so that we've only made 0.69 units on this whole thing. This ain't 2018. And it's been, you know, we've had some laughs. I'm going to do a four-legger tonight. I thought I was done with this, but you know what the heck?
Oh, there's a lot of options tonight, Gil. I do not blame you at all.
Yeah, it's not gonna pay a bunch, right? But it's a Sixers-Knicks-Nuggets-Raptors four-legger tonight. Sixers are taking on the Washington Wizards. I believe that's how you pronounce that.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks are taking on the Grizzlies. Nuggets are taking on the Jazz. Raptors are taking on the Kings. And by taking on, I mean, you know, there's a team across the court from them. This will only pay 37 cents on the dollar. But, you know, as a background thing, my background saying, Sixers, Knicks, Nuggets, Raptors, we're going to do it. It's minus 271 if you want to convert it to the odds. Sixers, Knicks, Nuggets, Raptors. You endorse or do you not endorse?
Yeah, I do. I do. Okay. I had written down Sixers, there's some Wizards injuries I want to see later. Like, Alex Sauer might play tonight. Did you see Anthony Davis news yesterday?
No.
Anthony Davis he's gonna start, like, ramp up at basketball activities, and you're like, what? There's a week and a half left in the season.
I thought we already agreed he wasn't playing.
Like, what are we talking about? Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know what's going on there. You know, a lot of these, it's just, we've talked about this before. I'm just waiting usually later in the day with these, but anything that I do as far as these will be up VSiN.com. But I had the 76ers written down, Rockets written down, Knicks, and Nuggets. Raptors, I've got win totals just to root on, man.
Okay. All right. So you guys sounded like an endorsement.
Yeah, totally.
Sixers, Knicks, Nuggets, Raptors. Now, that's the way to bet against the dregs of the National Basketball Association. But last night was a big night in the association. Luka, 42-12 in the Lakers' 14-point win of the Cavs. And J.J. Redick, instead of going sort of half-baked in terms of promoting Luka's candidacy for MVP, he went full steam last night, heaping praise. Quote, I think Luka has had as good of a month as anybody that I can remember in the modern NBA, at least since I've been part of it. It was Doncic's third straight 40-point game, lifting his March scoring total to 600 points. If you're wondering, hey, Gil and Kelly, is 600 points a lot for a month of NBA basketball? Well, it joins Michael Jordan in 1987 as the only player to reach the mark in March in the history of the league, and one of only 10 players to score 600 points in any month ever. That's Luka's month of March.
He's been amazing. Absolutely amazing.
As LeBron watches quietly from across the court.
Hey, he had a triple-double the other night.
Yeah, he did.
Well, you know, when Luka was out.
Here are your current MVP odds. Shea drifting upward a little bit. Victor drifting downward a little bit. Minus 350 on Shea, plus 350 on Victor. Luka, the aforementioned, best odds you can get on him at either DraftKings or FanDuel, 30-1 still. And Nikola Jokic is 100-1 at FanDuel. Yesterday, I went to the, what would you call the Boyd knockoff of FanDuel here in Nevada?
Who would call it exactly that?
It's a knockoff.
I don't know exactly how it works, right. But Boyd very obviously uses the same, I mean, what, at least futures books?
It's the same
odds from FanDuel, yeah.
But it's not real FanDuel, but it's our bastardization of FanDuel here in Nevada.
Do they still have the sign out there on Fremont?
Oh,
I don't know if any of the crew knows that, but like they had like a FanDuel sign on like the Fremont Casino, and like, I think there was an issue with that.
So, you know, I have Victor 25-1, right? And so because Nikola Jokic was 100-1, I just decided to go to the lovely Orleans Hotel. Have you ever frequented the lovely Orleans Hotel?
I haven't frequented, but I've been there.
Yeah. So I went in there for a moment and a half yesterday just to see. I was like, okay. And I even texted you and Danny beforehand. I go, let's just see. It's sort of like that those commercials on TV. We've replaced your normal dishwashing liquid with a garden variety brand. Let's see what happens.
You know what? I didn't know this part of the story. Like, I didn't know that's where you went.
Oh, yeah. That's where I went.
Every time that I've gone there, what you're about to describe has happened to me.
So I texted you guys and I said, let's see if they'll take $100 on this at 100 to 1. Nope. Guess how much they took.
I was driving around. I was like, no shot.
No shot. I knew not to go more than 100 because there was no shot at anything more than 100. They took 20 United States dollars. 20. At 100 to 1 on Nicole Jokic.
Yeah, that's what they took from me,
so if Victor Wembanyama wins this, I want everybody to do the proper accounting and subtract $20 from what I win.
They respected your 20 a whole lot more, though.
They moved it. Yeah, I forgot the best part of the story. The Boyd bastardization of FanDuel here in Nevada moved on my 20 United States dollars, which I don't know if you know this, is referred to as a Jackson.
Yes.
An Andrew Jackson. They moved it to 25 to 1. And I'm not even kidding.
I didn't know that's where you had gone. Dude, this is... I don't know that I'll ever walk in there and make a bet again, because I've had a hold-up every time.
Yes. It's been a year, at least a year since. There's always something stray there. You're like, well, I probably should, out of obligation, bet something here at this number.
Yeah, but like,
what's the point?
For whatever reason, it's like actually easier to do on their app than for every time I've gone to the counter there, it's like, hey, sir, will you wait 20 minutes and then we'll get to you? And you're like, wait, what?
On the other hand,
I just want to make a bet.
On the other hand, on the outside shot that Nikola Jokic wins MVP, I will actually be really thrilled that I had that $20 on it.
Yeah, I brought this up the other day where it was like, I have a lot on Nikola Jokic at plus 550, so it's kind of a no-brainer to just add on a little bit at 100 to 1.
Hey, it's April 1st. You know what that means? Circa put up April wins.
Hey!
For baseball. Let's take a little look at that. It's a numbers game right here at Visa. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Masters is almost here, and if you think you know the field better than the average bettor, it's time to prove it in the VSiN High Stakes Masters Challenge on Splash Sports. It's a $500 entry with a $100,000 prize guaranteed fantasy tiers contest built specifically for golf bettors. Here's how it works. You draft 6 golfers, one from each tier of the field. Your top 5 scores count, and the lowest combined score across all 4 rounds wins. Your worst golfer gets dropped automatically, but missed cuts carry an 8-stroke penalty. That's an 8-stroke penalty, so roster construction does matter. Entry closes April 9th at 8 a.m., so do not wait. Head to splashsports.com/VSIN. Use promo code VSIN for a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free $20 quick picks entry, and a 100% quick picks boost. Just go to splashsports.com/VSIN and use promo code VSIN. Can you play this, Kelly, or we're not eligible here in Nevada?
Not in Nevada, but as we've said with the March Madness one, I've played in these splash contests before. They do a great job with them. If you've ever used Office Football Pool, Splash, any of them, they're all together now under the same umbrella. I love the different little tier contests that they do. This is another, just like the March Madness one, I think another amazing contest for people to sign up for.
We get tweets, speed in the book. Ice Goon, he followed up with you. He said, wow, you learn something new every day. People actually graduate from FSU. Mm-hmm. I just thought diplomas are given after 4 years via sympathy, unlike me and my diploma from the Harvard of the West Coast. Where did he go? CSUF, where did he go? I don't even know what that means.
Cal State something?
Cal State something. This is from JT, speed to burn. My favorite April Fool's joke is Geno Smith will lead us to the promised land.
Yeah, good call.
That's right. What is Dan Bell's talking about when he says, boys, mind the date on the AC story, April 1st? What AC story? What is he talking about?
The air conditioning story you just read.
Oh.
Is that from a different... I saw the same thing. I didn't know. Is it an old story?
By the way, if that's an April Fool's joke, that's a really bad one to tell. Maybe you're right. 3JackH3131. Gil, all I heard was on Bedosa, and my mind went south. Can we get a country club bingo for listeners? Ball striker, hot putter? Bomber off the tee. Is there any sport with more terminology than golf? He's right about that. High school gambler says, you're charging us for air? Stop it. I love Angie. Thank you guys for the laughs and the facts. Oh, yeah, they're saying it's an April Fool's joke. The air conditioning charge is April Fool's, they say.
Mm.
Okay.
All it's right. A bad one because the air conditioning doesn't work in all most right. of these places.
By the way, a guy who is his Twitter feed is about promoting Vegas things to make a joke like that is probably not a good plus.
I agree with you, Gil. Yeah. I guess we got got once again.
We got got.
I really hate working on this day every year.
James Fessler says second segment opens with Gil refusing to read a clear April Fool's joke tweet. Five tweets later, falls for a different one. James, you got me. I got on that.
Oh man.
I love that you went with the whole, yeah, you know, the air conditioning, sometimes you just can't put it down below a certain level.
Bro, it's brutal. It's a terrible joke, because are you kidding me? You know how many places I've been into this town, and you're like, I have it set at 65 degrees, it will not let me go lower than this, and it is definitely 80 degrees in this room right now.
You know what is not an April Fool's joke? That Will Hill had Ian Eagle on the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Will Hill, the host of that podcast, joins us now. Kurt is the progressive guest line. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. That's two E's on the V. Ian Eagle, huh? Nice job.
Boys, what's going on? Yeah, Ian was great. Was great to hear his perspective of the shot, the call, just reliving it. And I think he had the same reaction I had and a lot of people had, where it just kind of took a couple days. We recorded it yesterday, Tuesday afternoon. It kind of took a couple days. Tuesday around noon was about the time that I finally stopped thinking about it every half hour or every hour, stopped watching it. It really took a while to just kind of settle in and settle down and just get over what happened, and really just a remarkable, remarkable ending.
Did you ask him about the catatonic reaction of Raftery and Grant Hill?
I did. And to paraphrase his answer, I think, you know, once Raftery chimed in with the utterly impossible, then he added the March means drama, and he was kind of playing off it, but he had no problem, you know, from what I remember from his answer, of just letting the moment breathe and just conveying what people were thinking. He made the point that his job as a broadcaster is to just kind of convey the moment, and he thought just letting the moment breathe was a good way to do that.
Well, and I thought Raftery, you know, when he did speak, was awesome as always, right? Like, he just says the right thing every time. So he's just a pleasure to listen to. After all these years, the man who, for those of us who are of a certain age, we remember from the 80s, Send It In Jerome, which Todd Wishdev says every chance he gets on a daily basis. Let's start with college hoops since we're there. Final four in front of us, man. How do you feel about these two games?
I like the UConn side more than I like anything else. It's almost like betting against the Kansas City Chiefs at this point, where it's like, man, you have all these options to bet on. You got baseball, you got college basketball, you got props, you got totals. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my money and I'm going to bet against UConn and Dan Hurley, and I'm going to lay a couple of points on top of it. I'm not doing that. Maybe it's prisoner of the moment. And, you know, we saw a couple of years ago, eventually that ran out with Chiefs Eagles, but putting your money on Hurley, it's pretty as simple. You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. It's as simple as that. What's it now? 17 out of 18 in the tournament. He's won 17 out of 18 in the tournament. He's covered. I'm not betting against him, so maybe the magic runs out eventually. But to me, it's UConn here. They beat Illinois already. All right, different Illinois team. Wagler didn't play. Wagler didn't really shoot that. I think only, you know, a handful of attempts in that game. Illinois didn't shoot the three well that day on Black Friday back in November. I don't care. I'm going with UConn here. I think this is a toss-up game. I thought UConn was going to actually be maybe a point or so favorite, and I still think by the time we get to tip-off, this will probably be closer to pick them. So I like UConn. A couple of things on this before we get to Michigan, Arizona. I was looking at the tournament odds. I think they're 6-1 to win it. And like most outstanding player, I just think Mullins has dug himself too deep a hole, even though he hit the shot. I don't know if he can win. He's had some horrible games in this tournament. Caravan has had some quiet games. To me, if UConn's going to win, Terrace Reed is 10-1 most outstanding player.
I think so too.
He's got 54 rebounds in this tournament, 31 and 27. He's got like 10 blocks. I mean, I don't want to say it's a proxy for UConn winning, but just looking at most outstanding player odds, Reed, I think, is a good bet at 10-1 if you had nothing. And, you know, a lot of people have asked me about this because I think a lot of people have similar tickets. I know you have a similar ticket. Hedging UConn, it's almost like Miami back in college football where, yeah, it'd be nice to hedge. You got these big numbers on them, but you got to hedge once as a 2-point dog. And then you get to the title game, you're like a 5 or 6-point dog. At some point, you're just hedging this thing into dust. So, I mean, you could hedge and monetize it, but I'm leaning towards just, you know what, let it play out, see what happens in the title game. I know you're not much of a hedger, so you're probably leaning that way too, but
yep.
It's not that simple. You think you make this bet back in before the season, you're going to get them in the final four. All right, maybe I'll get the opponent plus points. I can middle. I'm in good shape. You're not as in good shape as you'd hope to be, even though you're in the final four and happy and lucky to have this ticket alive, obviously.
Yeah, we're showing Reed, by the way, 16-1 for most outstanding player. Back to that for a second, and you were talking about using it as
pretty good.
Use it as a proxy bet. And again, no player has won from a losing team since 1983, Akeem Olajuwon with the Houston Cougars. You really can, I think, with Michigan, with Lendenborg, you know, again, it's not a big enough price to play it as a proxy bet. Arizona's really tough to play anything as a proxy bet, right? Because it's Burries, Bradley, and Pete. With Illinois and with UConn, though, I really do think Wagler and Reed might be the way to go.
I mean, you could even, is it definitely Reed or Caravan?
It's supposed to only be for the last two games. So
yeah, that's a good point.
It's supposed to be for that. But the reason that we go back into what happened so far in the tournament is because all things being equal, you would think in people's minds that would be the tiebreaker.
See, I always think that with NBA Finals MVP too. It's like what you've done in the playoffs, but matters a little bit too. But the only point I was going to make, if you thought it was going to be Reed Caravan, honestly, you could bet both of those. You'd have a better price than just UConn to win it all.
Yeah,
like we usually do with Super Bowl MVP.
What about Michigan Arizona? Will anything on that game?
Can they tie? Are we sure somebody has to win? I mean, these teams are about as even as it gets. You probably like the thickness and the interior players of Arizona a little bit more. Michigan, probably a few more shot makers. But man, I think it was Big Cat who tweeted, every time I watch Arizona play, I think they're the best team. And then I watch Michigan play, and then I think they're the best team. Yeah. It's about as even it gets. I lean towards Arizona. I know Steve Fezzik will make the point, you know what, Michigan's playing in Big Ten country. Little distraction with Tommy Lloyd. I'm going to slightly lean towards Arizona. I picked Arizona over Michigan on the Megapod and all the brackets and stuff, so I'll stick with that. But, I mean, if you're telling me, hey, this is a huge advantage for Arizona or vice versa, if these teams play 10 times, I think it would be 5 each.
Do you think that distraction thing is really a thing, or do you think that's just something media people talk about to fill time?
Most of the players aren't even going to be there next year. Yeah. I think I wouldn't base my handicap around it, put it that way.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yep. If I had to ask you I will ask you, who in your gut, who wins it all?
Michigan, Arizona.
I don't know. See, the reason I asked that question is because I said at the beginning of the week, I'll say it now, I would not be surprised by any of the four. I really wouldn't. Two basketball games.
UConn, yes. Let's speak it into existence here. 3 out of 4, baby. Let's cash that
ticket. Let's go. Go, UConn. All right, on the other side, Will will continue to join us. He's got baseball thoughts. And also, and this is not an April Fool's joke, I don't know if you know this, Kelly, but there is a tournament, a college basketball tournament, beginning in Vegas today. The College Basketball Crown. And Will has not one, not two, but 3 bets. Next, on A Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game, un partido de números. Brought to you by ProfitX. If you're not on ProfitX yet, what are you waiting for? Masters Week, perfect time to start. No excuses. New users get a sign-up bonus up to $100 in bonus cash just for getting started with promo code VSiNMM, as in March Madness. And next week, ProfitX is dropping their Masters of Your Domain contest. During the Masters, make one play of $50 or more on any Masters market, win or lose, and earn an entry to win a $1,000 golf prize of your choice. You can pick from a $1,000 round of golf, wow, $1,000 club of your choice, $1,000 gift card to any golf apparel brand. Win or lose on your play, you're still in the running. Download the ProfitX app, use promo code VSiNMM, make your first purchase, earn that bonus, and get in on the action at Augusta. Download ProfitX today, use promo code VSiNMM. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, my little buddy in the house here at Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Will Hill, kind enough to join us for a second segment. He's the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Ian Eagle, this week's, the latest guest. He does multiple podcast episodes per week. So just the latest guest in the Shoulda Bet More cavalcade. Will joins us from the state of Connecticut. You can follow him again on Twitter at NotTheWillHill, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Will, today it begins. the tournament that everybody's been waiting for, the Crown Tournament, the college basketball crown here in Las Vegas. Oklahoma, Colorado, Baylor, Minnesota, Stanford, West Virginia, Rutgers, and Creighton all involved in this 8-team bracket with a lot of NIL money on the line, correct?
Yes, and I will preface this by saying, first off, these are smaller plays for me, but I did bet these games, and I am going to be furious if I lose money on this tournament, but Fox is carrying it, so I got a little writing assignment that, hey, could you write up a piece on the crown? So I said, you know what, be a good team player, good employee, and then I think I found some, you know, angles I liked. Okay. I talked myself into some bets. You know how that can go, so I guess we'll start here. Oklahoma, which is taking some money, now laying 10 to Colorado, and you think, man, that's a lot of points for what's basically, you know, kind of exhibition-ish type of game, almost like a bowl game in football. Colorado has like nobody. They're missing three out of their top four scorers. They are completely depleted by the transfer portal. Meanwhile, Oklahoma, I mean, last time we saw them, which, you know, it's like a month ago now, which, you know, take that into account, but they were playing really well. They won six out of their last seven. They beat three tournament teams in that six out of seven stretch and lost a heartbreaker in the SEC quarters to Arkansas, but they beat Texas, they beat Missouri, and they beat A&M by 20. So they were really surging. They have not been touched, not been affected by the portal. They're pretty much intact. So again, 10 is a lot for a game like this, but I think they're good for it here over Colorado.
Okay. Let's go to Rutgers and Creighton, where the Blue Jays are 4-point favorites.
Did I mention I'm going to be mad if I lose money betting on this tournament?
You did mention
that. If I lose money betting on this tournament. Yes. Greg McDermott, the Creighton coach, is going to retire. I think Creighton is going to be motivated. And to me, motivation, again, bowl game type of atmosphere where motivation is a big part of it. Creighton did have a road win at UConn, which, you know, that's pretty impressive. Looks better and better. So motivated Creighton team. I'm going to lay the four here against a Rutgers team.
Okay.
Hey, you know what, Will? You know what I'll tell you, though? It's still, because of you, I wish I had it framed somewhere. Never forget the Rutgers team of 2025. And that Big Ten ticket. Yeah. Ooh, it will live on my wall of fame forever. I have never been talked into a bet more quickly in my entire life.
Two lottery picks. They cannot win this.
200-1 in a conference tournament?
Stanford and West Virginia also in the crown, with the Cardinal favored by one.
Yeah, so Ross Hodge, the basketball, college hoops, like nerds, junkies will tell you, he is just a great schemer, great X's and O's guys. And it's interesting, both these teams went 99 in conference, and both these teams played in the conference that sent 8 teams to the tournament. I don't know if you noticed this, the ACC went 3-11 against the spread in the tournament. No, they have no teams left. They only sent Duke to the Sweet 16, who's now gone. The Big 12, you know, they've still got Arizona. They sent 3 teams to the Sweet 16. They fared much better in the tournament than the ACC. So to me, this is just a handicap of the conferences. I've got West Virginia plus a point and a half here.
Okay. So the Oklahoma-Colorado game is today. The Stanford-West Virginia and the Rutgers-Creighton game are tomorrow. And apparently Will wants no part of the other game today, Baylor-Minnesota, because even for him, that is too much. He's not betting that game at all.
Hey, you know when you bet things like this, though, and you say you're going to be mad if you lose money, that also means you're a little happier if you win any money, too.
You know,
it's usually how it goes.
You know what also worries me about this, though? They say it's a $500,000 prize pool. This is the advertisement, $500,000 prize pool. And then right underneath that, they said quarterfinal win, $50,000 guaranteed. Semifinal win, $100,000 guaranteed. Championship, $300,000 guaranteed. So does that mean that doesn't that come out to $600,000 and not $500,000?
I didn't do that math. I wasn't following along that closely. Like, I didn't know where you were going with that at first.
This doesn't sound right to me. Anyway, maybe
they're double checking the funds that are available.
They're double checking. Yeah. Okay. To baseball. Now, Will, I mean this with all due respect. You are, when it comes to baseball, you're like a gnat at these sports books, right? Is this a correct description? You are betting any little prop thing that you feel like you have an angle on, which one should, but I would suggest that you go deeper into this than most, yes?
And that's the beauty of baseball. There are so many teams, there's so many players, there's so many markets, which I guess you could say for every sport, but baseball, you could bet inning to inning. You get a pitcher that looks good, that sharp, bottom of the order is coming up. You know, Chase Burns is on the mound. He's throwing great the other night. Will this team get a hit in this inning? No. And it's basically like a coin toss either way. So the micro betting in baseball to me is outstanding. I love it. You know, I've played a few here today, but I will say it's funny. We talked, I think I was on your show a couple times before the season where I mentioned, hey, I've been watching spring training. I don't know if people are ready for this ABS, and not that they're not ready, but I don't know if people realize just how extreme this is going to be, how different this is going to be. And this has been boy, it's been a hit, but it's really revealing how bad these umps have been.
Yes, it is.
There's betting implications to it. It really has blown me away, even though I expected it to be more than what I think most people expect it to be. And I think the one thing, too, like the fan experience, fans really get a kick out of. They're in the ballpark. They see the tap of the head, and then there's that moment of pause of, is the umpire right? He's wrong, and then he's wrong, and we all cheer, and we all kind of mock him. So there's so many different aspects to it, and it matters how good you are at it, because I saw Chisholm last night, Jazz Chisholm for the Yankees, blew two of these, and then that really hurts your opportunity to challenge going forward. Mm-hmm. So being good at the challenge is another whole aspect of this handicapping thing.
I think you're 100% right, that the umps, like when they envisioned it, I was like, oh, two challenges, if you get one right, they get, like, no one thought to themselves, oh, like, there's going to be five in a row wrong, and it's just going to be public humiliation. It's been awesome to watch, but you're right. But simultaneously infuriating, because it makes you realize the entire thousands of games have been altered by poor ball and strike calls, and all of our bets on top of that as well. Needless to say, speaking of bets, one of the nice derivative markets that you bet is, and we talk about this with Fezzik a lot, not first fives, but first threes. What's your philosophy on that?
Yeah, betting these more and more, just because I don't want to handicap the bullpens. I don't want to sweat through the bullpens. I mean, just think how much time you're going to save yourself, because if you're betting the full game baseball, I mean, you know this, you've been doing this forever. Who pitched 2 days in a row? Is there closer available? Who's pitched 3 out of 4? Who's available? Just saving that time, I think, is valuable. And then it's just such a truer handicap where you're getting the starting pitchers. That second, third time through the lineup, those are pretty much erased. All right, you get a little bit of a second time through the lineup, but it's really more just the pitcher first, the batter, and it's such a cleaner handicap. I like to play unders in these good pitching matchups, so I played 4 of them today. A's and Braves under 2.5. It's Sale versus Severino. Severino was much better last year on the road than at home. His numbers were really skewed by pitching that small ballpark, so I played under 2.5. That's -125. The other three I played, Milwaukee and Tampa, the Reds and the Pirates, and then the Phillies and the Nationals. Those are all higher juice, or I think the first two I mentioned are higher juice. You can do this at DraftKings, and Steve Fezzik says it never goes under 1.5, so don't do this. But you could play a synthetic too, where you go under 1.5, and that's usually like +130 for the really good pitching matchups. And then the under 2.5 is like -165, -170 for the really, really good pitching matchups. And you just play half on both, and they both come out to -130. So if you don't want to lay the juice, that's a good way to get it down to like a -110, -115 proposal. But I really like these first three unders when you get good pitching matchups.
It's great. And the F3, it makes so much sense intuitively, because if you ever stared at a fan graphs page and look at pitcher stats through the orders, right, one time through, two times through, three times, the degradation of that is such that if you're just playing F3, it's one maybe perfectly or one in change, right? And so it absolutely is commensurate with the handicap there. Real quick before we go, your Yankees, 4-1 out of the gate. Your thoughts?
Great. Congratulations. Let me know how it goes in October. They've pitched well. They'll get Cole back. They'll get Rodon back. You keep judging Fried healthy, they're going to be good, but I'm not. I still think they've got some holes.
So. I heard someone say yesterday the best Yankees team in like 20 years or something like that.
Easy. Easy.
I was like, yeah, I
haven't seen Juan Soto on the Yankees this year, so I think the team with Soto was better.
Yeah. Okay. Is there a team besides the Dodgers that has impressed you beyond belief?
No, I would say this. Texas, that's a nice start for them. And as much as we say, oh, it's early, it doesn't matter, that was a big win for the A's last night. If you start to get out to these 1-7, 0-8 starts, I mean, just think about it. Say you play like 28 games in a month. You need to have like an 18-10 month just to erase that 0-8. So we could say it's early, but you start to come to that point where you could dig yourself a hole if you're not careful here.
It's a great point. No undefeateds through 4 games and no winless now through 5 games. That's Major League Baseball. Should have bet more is the name of his podcast, I and Eagle. The latest guest. Got to check that out. Thank you, Will.
See you guys. Thanks.
Will Hill, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game. Toddy Wishnev on the other side.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A Numbers Game brought to you by PropitX. If you're not on PropitX yet, Masters Week is the perfect time to start. New users get a sign-up bonus up to $100 in bonus cash just for getting started with promo code VSINMM. That's MMS and March Madness. And next week, ProfitX dropping their Masters of Your Domain contest. During the Masters, make one play of $50 or more on any Masters market, win or lose, and earn an entry to win a $1,000 golf prize of your choice. You can pick from $1,000 round of golf, $1,000 club of your choice, $1,000 gift card, any golf apparel brand. Win or lose on your play, you're still in the running. Download the ProfitX app. Use promo code VSNMM. Make your first purchase. Earn that bonus. Get in on the action at Augusta. Download ProfitX today. Use promo code VSNMM. Skill Alexander, I might be flying solo here. I'm not really sure. Kelly Bidlin is with me, of course, as always. But
What'd you say?
What's the story? What's going on over there?
I got earpieces that are falling apart and stuff. I couldn't hear Todd at the end. So. I don't know where I'm going to figure that out. You might just have a nice, intimate conversation with Paul Spohr.
We'll miss you. We'll miss you. Can I read some tweets before we get
going? Yeah, you can. Hey, don't worry. I can hear you from this far away.
Oh, okay.
We're okay for now.
We get tweets beating the book. Always appreciate it. We'll try to work on getting Kelly back.
Plus, I trust you. I trust you to be able to handle the Paul Spohr interview.
Hey, thanks. Okay? Thanks. Appreciate that. Thanks. I've only been talking to Paul for 27,000 years. We get tweets beating the book. This is from Rules for Society. Much like so many others unqualified to be in their positions these days, C.B. Buckner seems to have no shame. Like, show some humility, he says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just can't do that in 2026.
No, not allowed. Phil New at Phil New Sportbet. Can you enter the Masters contest in any state? I'm in Minnesota, thanks. There are some states where you might not be allowed.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Minnesota's one of them. But more states than not, you can play. Mm-hmm. Jamie Leva, the fact that I didn't even flinch when you mentioned casinos charging for AC just shows how bad it's gotten.
Thank you.
Have a fantastic day, gentlemen. You too. No, it's really true. That's why I bought it. Let's see.
The water thing infuriates me. Like, just that, I mean, how many people do you know that come out here and then even if they have water in the room, they drink through it all in the first night. And then you're going down to the gift shop and spending $40 for water to load up on.
No Emu Doug, why don't they have slots in hospital waiting rooms? Some of us are only there to wait. The digital slots on the phone give me pause. Chance Copperpot, can you ask Todd if we're going to be betting the crown? Need to turn my notifications on. Oh, we'll absolutely be betting the crown tonight. In game. Brian M, font is wrong. Skating tripods handle is wrong. Sitting on the wrong sides. Bobby Geddes, I'm also obsessed with his MVP race now, and I thought this was funny, even though I know it's not apples to apples, but one guy in this picture is the fourth favorite to win MVP, and the other one was 69% of first place votes 9 years ago. Oh, he's showing me a Russell Westbrook, Nikola Jokic comp. You know, you ever see those stat head comps that come up on your social media?
Yeah, it's like there's once in a while.
The best one was like Brian Giles's MLB career stats-wise is as good or better than Juan Soto's. But you have to like adjust for era. Those things, those comparisons don't. I know those kinds of things interest a guy like Paul Spohr, who joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Spohr, Sporer. He works at Fangraphs. Sleeper in the Bus podcast, of course, is where he does his thing. And he comes to us from Austin, Texas. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. How's it going?
Doing very well. You ever see those comparisons? They show up on like Facebook or Instagram or whatever. That's the one that always sticks out to me. Like Brian Giles, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just love that you brought him up today because he's like actually front of mind for me. I'm doing a content set for OOTP, and it's an April Fool's set where I'm putting out same named guys. So did you know that there's another Brian Giles?
Oh, no, I did not.
That played baseball?
No.
Yeah. Random guy. Not Marcus. Obviously, Marcus is his brother. There's another Brian Giles from the like late 70s into the 80s. He didn't play very long. Actually, it was 80s into 90. Yeah. So I'm doing something like that. So I was just looking at his profile this morning, Brian Giles, and he was awesome. Like kind of a weird dude and maybe a little bit of a roid head, but an amazing ball player. And yeah, he really does – like. He does stack up well against Soto because he took all those walks too. Now, yes. I would still give Soto the edge. I still think he's definitively better, something like WRC Plus, which covers all the era stuff and all that, 158 to 136. That's a healthy advantage for Soto. But Giles is like an analog version of him. Like, yeah, I think that's a fair to at least put him in that hemisphere.
I like that. OOTB baseball, once again, out of the park baseball. Where do people go to find what you do?
You can Google OOTP and it'll come up, I'm certain of it. But OOTP Developments is the website. We're available on Steam. We'll have our mobile app coming out relatively soon, maybe even within the week, but not confirmed there. OOTP Go, which you can play that way. And what I work part... The part I work for is called Perfect Team, which if you play MLB The Show or any of these other video games on like PlayStation, it's like your card collecting. It's your ultimate team where you can pick your team from all of history. And today you'll be able to pick either Brian Giles in a couple hours when those cards go out.
There you go. By the way, he's saying it fast, but it's OOTP. Don't be confused with OTP or for that matter, OPP, it should be pointed out. Okay.
Don't be messing with OPP. You get in trouble for that.
Paul's down with OPP, though. All right, let me just ask you this, because you're a baseball aficionado. ABS system, I guess, is the headline with all of this. Been the most amazing thing to observe.
So good.
So good. Does it make you as angry, though, as it makes me that so many thousands of games that we are just...
We human element, though.
Yes.
But what about the human element?
That's right.
I freaking hate when people say it's so stupid, dude.
So dumb.
Oh, getting things wrong is cool. It's the human. What does that mean?
Yes.
What's not human about having the challenge? Do these people know that the humans are still challenging it? It's still a batter, pitcher, or catcher going to their helmet. Those are humans. That's still a human element, except the humans are actually deciding like what we're doing here. We're not just going off of one guy who's usually a bitter clown like C.B. Buckner. You saw how offended he got the second time Suarez challenged him, right?
Yes.
Hey, get it right. You have the option to get it right. And listen, it's a remarkably difficult job, and I do respect that. Like, let's be real for one moment. Umpires are actually really, really good in the aggregate. Really, 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 really good. Way better than you could ever be sitting on your couch, Johnny Two Cents on Twitter. But why not have some humility about what this technology can do? It's not a personal attack, man. You have a remarkably difficult job. I'd say an impossible job. The fact that they're as good as they are, tip the cap to you. Obviously, you know, the ones that stand out aren't all that good. Yeah, Angel Hernandez, C.B. Buckner. We know the guys that are the clowns. But as a group, very, very good. Have a little humility here. I know it's tough to get called out at your job, especially in front of 40,000 fans. But it's not a personal attack. We're just trying to get things right. And it's been electric. I love it. I'm really eager to see where it goes, too. Will it continue to rise? Will it stay the same? I think teams will get more aggressive. So I think we might have a few, you know, more missed calls as they're moving the aggressiveness. Or they get better with it. Players, you know, batters and catchers get better with it. I think pitchers need to be off. If I was running a team, no pitcher can challenge. Maybe somebody like Max Scherzer, because I'd be afraid that he would headbutt me if I said he couldn't. But like, generally speaking, the pitchers would be banned from it. They don't have the perspective. And speaking of Max, he has such a bad head whip that I don't think he could ever truly challenge a pitch that I would be comfortable with. But leave it to the catchers and batters, and I think they're going to get better. You saw some guys be a little bit tentative. They need to get confident about knowing what they know. Spencer Torkelson had one that went against him that he really, really wanted to, and he even kind of hesitated with his arm. Guys are going to get more confident with it. It's a game changer, and I love it. This is not torpedo bat BS that's, you know, a flittering thing a week in. This is a real game-changing thing, and it's awesome.
It is awesome, and it is game-changing. I love it because Buckner, one of the ones you were referencing, is he did that whole third strike dramatic call, and then it was like, challenge. And then when he tried calling it again, it was a little less dramatic challenge, right? So that's a little interesting sidebar as well. Today, Paul Skenes is back on the mound against the Reds. I don't want to say, did he get shelled? I think shelled is a little dramatic because O'Neill Cruz made a big error.
He's
there
washed
in center field. And so it could have been better for Skenes. He wasn't as sharp as we're used to, though, obviously.
Right.
So the instinct for everybody is, oh, well, Skenes will, that was one bad start. He'll return to glory today against the Reds. Would it shock you, though, if it wasn't quite as sharp as we're used to? Like, maybe not as bad as it was in the opener, but it was actually more pedestrian than we might expect today?
I mean, yeah, I'd probably be a little bit shocked with that from Skenes just because I generally expect him to be great every time out, which is an unfair standard to hold anybody to. But when you're an ace, you're an ace. And so that is the expectation. But it wouldn't send me running for the hills because let me be clear that the Mets start does nothing to move the needle. It moves the panic meter zero for me. So even if this one was bad, that only might start moving the panic meter like an inch, right? For somebody with an ace pedigree, and I know he's only got two seasons, but they're bona fide ace seasons for Skenes. For a guy like that, I'm needing 5-6 starts before I'm doing anything, or a gigantic velo drop, which is usually indicative of injury. We didn't see that. He was sitting 98 97.9 to be exact, and he was at 98.2 last year. That's an imperceptible, worthless drop that I would not worry about that. Once it has to get over a mile per hour for it to be a significant drop. So if we saw something like that, if he was throwing like 95 today and getting beat up a little bit, okay. His command was off. He did have a lot of walks, but O'Neal Cruz, obviously, like you said, made that spiral out of control. And then Don Kelly protected his guy. You're not going to be letting him throw 40 pitches out there. You can't do that.
Yeah, if he does not pitch well today, though, let the World Baseball Classic bashing for begin, sure. Right? That's going to come. Both Skeens, the Cubs, the total in the game is six with the winds howling in at Wrigley today. Mm-hmm. All that day game baseball today should be fun. Thank you, Paul.
Take care, Gil.
You too. Paul Spohr, everybody. Coming back on A Numbers Game.